Today's daf is page 107, daf Kuf Zayin, and hopefully we'll get to the next perek, perek Yesh Nochlin. We're dealing currently with the issue of dividing up through a lottery. So we saw that a lottery works. That was the first thing that we saw yesterday. Maybe that's based on the fact that when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel with Yehoshua, their portions were apportioned through lots, through a lottery. The Gemara said, but maybe that was different. There you had the divine presence, you had the Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim. So the Gemara said, well, the reason why a lottery works is that partners want to dissolve. So I'm happy that he's going to be willing to be out of my hair, and therefore I'm willing to be out of his hair. So it's really, because everybody's happy that the lottery is sort of unwinding the partnership, that pleasure is like getting money. That's already a kinyan, and therefore the acquisition works. There's a full gemiras das, there's a full decisiveness to separate. Then the Gemara said again yesterday, if two brothers divide the property of their father, and then a third brother shows up, and apparently they didn't know that there was a third brother, so Rav says, okay, we've got to go back to square one. All right, everything's reversed, and let's now divide up the property three ways. So it could be that the property that Reuven got, he's now going to lose. It's going to end up with what Shimon had had till now. And Shmuel said, no, the two brothers each carve out of what they have to the third, but they get to hold on to what they still had. So that was what we saw yesterday. So now we're on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph at the second line. Itmar, we learned. Achin Shechalku. Let's say there are two brothers. Again, only two brothers. Their father died. He owned four buildings. So they inherited it. So they divided it up. Okay, we'll divide the four buildings into two plots. Each has two buildings. We'll draw lots. You get whatever comes up is what you get. Whatever the other one gets, the other two. They divided up the land. Uba bal chov. And now someone who had lent money to father and who hasn't yet been paid back shows up. He takes the two buildings of Reuven. So now Shimon, the other brother, has two buildings. And Reuven says, I don't have anything. Hey, you know, let's revisit it. So what's the halacha now? So now we're going to have three opinions. Rav Amar Batla Machlokes. Rav says, okay, we have to go back to square one. In other words, basically the way Rav holds, we've seen this earlier, Yesh Breira, that when later there is a division, it determines retroactively what had been going on from the very beginning. So therefore, Rav understands that the way inheritance works is that if there is, let's say, two buildings that a father had and he dies, so now when the two children work out a division, so Reuven says, I'll take the building on Water Street, and Shimon says, I'll take the building on Wall Street. So though that division is basically a retroactive determination of what came from the father. Now we've seen that when one building went from the father to Reuven, and the other building went from the father to Shimon. So basically, the children are really still an extension of the father, because the division between them was just a way to determine who got what when the father died. But really, they've inherited from the father, and they're extensions of the father. So the father owed money, they both owed the money. So one son paid, but the other son really should have been paying too. So now that the building of one son was taken, the other son's building, which has always been really the father's building in his hands, so now he has to divide it with the other son. He can't inherit and the other son not inherit. So he owed the father's debt. He should be paying half the father's debt. So he now has to give half of the building to the other son. So we'll go back to square one. We'll divide this building into two parts. We'll put two lots. Draw the lot, we'll find out who gets one part and who gets the other part. That's the view of Rav. One second, let's do all three views, then we'll have the questions. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Viter. Shmuel said, sorry. That's it. The boy whose property was taken for the loan, he's out. He gets nothing. He lost, and the other son doesn't have to give up anything. Why? Because the view of Shmuel is that ain breira. So he doesn't believe in the idea that what happens later is retroactively what had been going on from the very beginning. So what happens when there is an inheritance? Father dies and he leaves two buildings. The two buildings now belong in partnership to the two sons. Each has a share in each building. So then the sons are partners. That was the inheritance. Now the sons, when they want to divide up, that I'll get one building and my brother will get the other building. So now we're engaged in a business deal. I'm selling to him my share in his building in return for the fact that he's giving to me his share in my building. So it's a swap. It's a business deal. Now, if I buy land from somebody, and then it turns out that that person who sold me the land really owed money, and the lender of that person, the bank, comes and they take away the land from me, I'm not always entitled to go back to the seller. I am if we made a condition in the document that I'm buying the land with a guarantee. But if we didn't make a condition in the document, Shmuel's of the opinion that I don't have rights to go back to the seller. So since Shmuel holds that when two sons inherit and then they divide the property, that's a case of a buyer and a seller. It's a buyer and a seller without a contract between them saying that each one is guaranteeing the other. Or the way the Rashbam puts it, one doesn't guarantee the other because I'm happy that I don't have to replace his land if he loses it, and therefore I've surrendered the right for him to have to replace my land if I lose it. So either way, we didn't have a guarantee. So what happened was, now the lender came, he took one piece of land. So that's it, that brother is out, because there's no guarantee to the land that he purchased. And the other brother is not responsible, because the inheritance is already done. What's going on now is a purchase between the two of them. So that's why the brother who lost loses, and he has no way to get compensation. However, Rav Asi said, again, we're talking about only two brothers. So the brother who lost the land, note to the lender, noto revia bakarka. He doesn't get a half of the land that his brother has. He gets a quarter of the land, or if the brother says, I'm not giving you land, I would only give you cash, revia b'maos. He can get a quarter of the cash. Yeah, okay, so the question, is he?
I'm sure that that's all going through bad deal.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
All right, let's say they went through a Bezdin. That's fine.
No, I just want to be sure. It's not that he came and lokeach. He came to Bedin, and Bedin was involved. Now,
the lender may have had an aputiki. May have had a situation where there was a lien on this particular piece of land. Yeah.
But isn't it the continuation of the father's wealth?
So that's according to the view of Rav, but apparently according to the view of Shmuel, once they split up, now they've swapped.
Now the continuation stops?
Yeah, now it's their land.
But the halacha is they have to go back to...
The halacha is to go back to square one, yeah.
If Reuven was the firstborn, he would get a double.
That's correct, nine. Yeah.
But then if it was taken away from him, it would be against halacha that he didn't get a double portion.
He got the double portion, but then he lost it.
A valid double
doesn't
portion.
Matter. He got a double portion as relative to the other brothers. So now, let's go over these three views. Again, we're talking about a situation we'll call the father Yaakov. Yaakov has two sons, Shimon and Levi. Neither is a firstborn. The firstborn already, let's say, died, didn't leave inheritors, whatever. We'll find some scenario. Or the firstborn was a girl, so there's no firstborn situation here. There are two sons, there's Shimon and Levi. Yaakov has two pieces of land. Yaakov dies, Shimon takes the land on the right, Levi takes the land on the left, and then Yehuda shows up. He says, you know what, I had lent money to Yaakov. I'm going to take Reuven's land. I'm just going to take Shimon's land. That was the land that Yaakov encumbered for the loan. So Rav says, "Batla machlokes." Okay, now we have to renege on the whole division, And Levi has to give his land up, and we have to divide up Levi's land between Levi and Shimon. Why? Because Kasava, Rav is of the opinion, Achin Shechalku, when brothers divided inheritance, Yorshinhein, they are heirs. Basically, the division is what we'd call a Gilui Milsa. The division reveals how the inheritance was handed down. So, but really, they are still inheritors. Therefore, they're both inheritors, and they're both responsible for the debt. So if the lender took from Shimon, so now Levi has to give his share. He has to share his portion with Shimon. However, Shmuel Amar Viter. Shmuel said he now lost his portion of inheritance. Kasabra, because Shmuel's of the opinion, Ach and Shechalku, when brothers divide up the property of their father, Lekuchosein, they are purchasers. In other words, Shimon gave away his share in Levi's land in return for Levi giving to him his share in his land. So they are purchasers. Okay, that's number one. So once, in other words, the inheritance ended. The inheritance was when they were both joint partners in each pair, in each set of each piece of land. But once I swap my portion in your land for your portion in my land, so now we're no longer inheritors. That's already a new stage of the story. We're no longer inheritors. Now we did a business deal with each other. So now kilo keach shelo b'achrayastami. It's, and not just are we are purchasers, we're purchasers without a guarantee. I purchase without having a guarantee that I would get compensated if I lose my purchase. And he purchased without a guarantee that he would be compensated if he lost his purchase. We're purchasers from each other. And therefore, the lender can collect, because apparently there was an aputiki, there was a lien on this particular piece. But so the lender collected from Shimon, but now Shimon doesn't have a right to go after Levi because he had purchased land from Levi without Levi guaranteeing it to him. So now he lost the land that he purchased from Levi, but he has no guarantee. So he loses out. However, Rav Asi is opinion number three. Rav Asi Misafkale, he's not sure how to understand children who divide up land. Is it that when children divide up land, that means they are inheriting and it's a continuation of the inheritance? Or when they divide up the land, at that point they've become purchasers from each other and purchasers without a guarantee. So, therefore, it's maman amutal besafik. It's money that is in doubt. So, money in doubt we divide. So, therefore, since we're not sure, no tell, he gets a quarter of the land of Levi, and if Levi doesn't want to give land, Levi can say, listen, had the lender come to me, I would have paid him off with cash. So I'm giving you cash, or revia bimos, and give him a quarter of the value in cash.
So the only thing the brother can protect themselves if they make a scam that if somebody coming will go back. If they didn't,
that's also
it,
true. Then there would be achrayus, then there would be a guarantee if they made such an agreement. Okay, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, now we get to the halacha. Hilchasa, b'chol ani shmaitza. The halacha in these last two scenarios, namely, the brothers who divide up land, and then a third brother shows up that they didn't know about. Or the brothers who divide up land, and then a lender comes and takes the land of one of them, mekamtzin. The law in both of them is that we don't go back to square one. Rather, we allow the brothers to contract from what they have. So in other words, if there are two brothers who divide up three plots of land, and one Reuben gets 1.5 plots, Shimon gets 1.5 plots, then a third brother, Levi, shows up. So now Reuben takes away the half of a plot. Shimon moves away half the plot. Those two halves are given to Levi, and they get to keep what they had before. They don't need to revisit. We don't need to redo the whole deal. And in the case of our case that we've been talking about today, Reuven inherited what Reuven took one plot, Shimon took the other plot. Now a lender comes and takes away Reuven's plot. So Shimon does have to pay Reuven half the land, but we don't go back to square one and say, okay, let's pick lots and determine who gets which half. Rather, we give the right to the brother whose land was not taken to choose which half of his land he wants to give to the other brother. That was the view of Rav Papa. However, Amemar said, no. When the lender comes, bat la machlokes, all that was done till now is reversed, and we go back to a redivision of the remaining plot with lots again. And if a third brother comes, we don't allow the two brothers to decide which parts of their land they'll give to the third brother. We say now that there's new information and what was done originally was not done fairly, we have to redo the whole thing. And we're going to redo the whole thing. We're going to break up the lands into three plots and we're going to have lots. And it could be Reuven's going to end up now with what had been Shimon's plot. That's okay. Reuven can't hold on to his plot. The Hilchasan, that's the halacha. When we get new data, when we get a third brother that we didn't think had existed, or we have a lender coming and now taking one of the plots, batla machlokas, halachas like Rav, everything is reversed. We go back to square one, and we restart with lots and with portions, and each picking his portion. That is the halacha.
That's a peaceful solution.
To go back to square one?
Yeah.
Not so sure.
That's a fair
value drop.
Putting labor
in.
Peaceful.
We'll
back to square one.
Put money in and I invest
it. It looks like you disagree with this, Rabbi.
I don't disagree. It's halacha. How can I disagree? It's beautiful. It's exciting. It's exciting. It was a fight, and then the third party comes in. It was amazing.
This is a Shalom Bayit way of doing it, and correct way, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, so now the next part of the Gemara deals with a Beis Din. All right, we talked about, you know, when new data comes in. Now we deal with a new issue. We've mentioned yesterday, Lloyd was asking about it, that according to the halacha, when a person passes away, we'll see this a lot over the next month, in the next chapter, when a person passes away, his sons inherit. If there are sons, the daughters do not inherit. However, the sages were worried, what's going to be? A man dies, the daughters are going to be out on the street. So the sages made a takana, as part of the Ksuba enactment, as we learned back in Masechet Ksubos, that the property of the father has to support the daughters until they marry, and has to support the widow. So, how do we use the property? A man dies, and he leaves a bunch of young boys. They can't run the business. They may be 8, 10, 11 years old, maybe even more, 15. Anyway, they can't run the business. So how are we going to get out of that property money for the daughters to keep them alive? So Beis Din has to come. And Beis Din has to look out to carry out these enactments, and they have to assess the property values. And whatever value they figured the property is worth, they then have to sell it at that value. So what happens if there's a dispute within the Beis Din in terms of what the property is worth? So, one judge says the property is worth 100. Another judge says the property is worth 120. And they sell it for, what price should they sell it at? You know, how do we resolve those types of disputes? Okay, so now we have this discussion. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braita. So actually, they point out here in the footnote, the reason why they can't go forbidding is because people know that they are distressed sellers. They don't really have a bailim over the, you know, who's going to look out for the property. So people are not going to bid. So Beis Din has to set the minimum bid. So based on the assessment of Beis Din, that's going to be the minimum bid. So what should that be? So Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Shlosha Shiyardu Lashon. Three judges went to appraise the property. Echad Omer B'mana. One says the property is worth 100 zuz. The minimum bid has to be 100 zuz. Namely, 25 slatim. Shnayim omer b'matayim. The other two say it's worth 200 zuz. It's worth 50 slaim. Or echadom b'masayim. One judge says it's worth 200 zuz. Ushnayim b'mane. But two judges say it's only worth 100 zuz. So now batel yachid b'miuto. So that one is annulled because of the majority. We have a rule achri rabim lahatos. Follow the majority of a court. So we say that the price that the court has to put out is whatever is the view of the majority. But what happens if the three of them argue? Echad omer b'mana. One says it's worth 100. Echad omer b'esrim. One says it's worth 80. Echad omer b'shloshim. And one says it's worth 120. So now what's the valuation? Because when we say 20, we're talking about 20 slaim, and each sela is 4 zuz. So now what do we do? So now we again have three opinions. Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok Omer Nidum Betishim. We give it the valuation of 90, because 90 is midway between the two lower valuations. Again, one valuation was 80, one was 100, one was 120. So midway between 80 and 100 are the two lowest. Midway between 80 and 100 is 90. So the valuation is 90. Acherim Omer Osim Shuma Beinehem. No, we have to find the middle. So you have 120 and you have 80. The middle between 120 and 80 is 100. I'm sorry, no. Osim Shuma Beinehem. We take the difference. So I'm sorry, Nidum Imana. The first view is the Tanakhama says it's 100 because 100 is in the middle between 80 and 120. The second view is Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says it's 90, Nidum Betishim, because 90 is between 80 and 100. And the third view, Acherim Omrim, Osin Shuma Beinehem. We have to make an evaluation between 80 and 120. What's the difference between 80 and 120? 40. So what's a third of 40? A third of 40 is 13 and a third, Umashalshin, and that 13 and a third is then added to the 80. So the price becomes 93 and a third. So again, you have three judges coming to assess the value of the land that they have to assess and sell off in order to provide for the widow and the orphan girls. So one judge says the land is worth 80, a second judge said it was worth 100, the third judge said it was worth 120. So what valuation do we give? We don't have a majority here. So according to the first opinion, the evaluation is 100, because that's the middle between 100 and between 80 and 120. The second opinion is the valuation is 90, and the third opinion is the valuation is 93 and a third. So now, Ma'adam Arnidu Mimane, the one who says that the evaluation is 100, Milsa Mitziyasa, because that's the middle opinion. You had the view of 80, the view of 120, the middle between that is 100. That makes sense. Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok Omer Nidum Betishim. Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok says the valuation is going to be 90. Why? Because Kasavar, he holds Hayara Tishim Shava. This land is really worth 90. And because it's really worth 90, that's why you have one judge saying it's worth 80. And another judge saying it's worth 100. Why? Because people make mistakes of 10 in assessments. When they make assessments, it's normal that they're 10 off. So this guy said 80. The other one said 100. What's probably the case is that they're both off. One is off down and one is off up. The real price is 90. One said 80 and one said 100. That's the real price. The 120, that's way out there. That's way above, 80. You know, it's way above 100 also. So that's probably, that was a mistake. So again, Haidakam or Esrim, the one who said 80 to Katoy Asara Lachore, he's making a mistake on 10 down. Again, when it says Esrim, it's referring to Esrim Slayim, which is 80 Zuz. So the one who said 80 Zuz, he's 10 off. Hi, the Kamer Mana, the one who says 100 zuz, Kataya Sara Lakame. He's also 10 off, 10 off above. And that's why the real price is 90. So now the Gemara asks Fred's question. Adarabba, why don't you say the opposite? Hi, Ara, Meyavasara Shavya. This land is 110. Hi, the Kamer Mana, the one who said 100, Kataya Sara Lachore. He's saying 100 because he's 10 off below. V'haydekamar shloshim, and the one who says 30 sloim, which is 120, katoyasar lekame, he's 10 off above, going further. So Gemara says, no, we have a rule. The rule is, tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, tafasta muat, tafasta. If you have two ways of interpreting data, you can have the more ambitious interpretation or the more modest interpretation. You're always safer with the more modest interpretation because the more ambitious included the more modest, but the more modest doesn't include the more ambitious. So that's what we have here too. I mean, that's a law in terms of darshaning psukim, but that's here in this assessment too. So the question is like this. Nekot mihas. In any event, you should take the first two judges, Demitoras Mane, Lo Nafka Lahu, because they don't take the land out of the category of less than a mana. Right? If we would look at the top two and say 100 is 10 below 110, and 120 is 10 above 110, so the real number is 110. So then we're ending up with a number over 100. So maybe it doesn't have that value. But if we say that the base is 90, and the guy who said 100 was 10 above 90, and the guy who said 80 was 10 below 90, but the base is 90, that's a safer amount. 90 is certainly 90. Even if you say it was 110, it's 90. If you say it's 120, it's 90. So you're on safer ground when you take the lower number than when you try to be more ambitious for the orphans and push the more aggressive valuation.
Rabbi, since when the business becomes an appraisal?
They are. This is part of their job. They do appraisals.
They do appraisal, or do they have to know the law?
They better know the law. They better know the markets. They better be up and knowing the real estate deals. They have to know.
They're big chachams then.
Big chachams.
Wow. Now we know.
All right. So now, this explains how we got to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, who said 90. Acherim omrim, Acherim said, one valuation was 80, the other valuation was 100, the third valuation was 120. Osin shuma beinayim, we make an assessment, what's the difference between 80 and 120? 40. Umishal, should we divide up that assessment into thirds? So Kasavri, they hold, Hai Ara, this land, really, the value is Tishe Mutlasa Vitilsa Shavi. It's really worth 93 1/3. Hai Dekamar Esrim, the one who said it's worth 80. Katayi Tlesar Vitilsa Lachore. He's 13 1/3 off in being too low. But really, it's worth 93 1/3. Hai Dekamar Mana, the one who says it's 100. Katayi Tlasa Tlisa Lakame. Really, it's 93 1/3, but he's 13 1/3 off. Really, he should have said 106, and there, but he said 100. Really, he meant 106. Ubedinu delay matzvei. So the reason, really, he should have said 106, not 100. Had low karma. The reason why he didn't say that is Savari figured mistayed to come at fina kuli hayachavrei. It's enough that I'm already, you know, 20 more than my friend. My friend says it's worth 80. I'm saying it's worth 100. All right, enough, 100. Really, he meant to say 106. So Gemara asks the same question. Adarabba, so if the last view holds that people are off by 13 1/3, so then, hi Ara, meyot tleisa utleisa shavi. Why don't you think the land is actually worth 113 1/3? Hi dekamar mana, the one who said 80. Katsai tleisa, I'm sorry, the one who said 100. Katayi tleisar v'tlisalachor, right? He's 13 1/3 behind. He's underestimating by 13 1/3. Haidekamar shloshim, the one who says 120, toy tleisar v'tlisalakame. He is, when he says 120, he's off ahead. Really, he meant to say, v'dinu tekamar tfei, he really meant to say 126. But he's figured, you know, kasavar mistoyed to come at tefina kuli hayachavroi. It's enough that I'm so much more than my friend. My friend said 100. I'll say 120. But he really meant to say 126 because he was really 13 1/3 off in terms of too high. So Gemara says the same answer. Nekot mias trei kamoi biadach. In any event, you'd rather use the first two appraisals. Demitoras mei alo mafkilei. Because they're not going higher than 100. They're beneath 100. If you end up with the first two appraisals, you end up with a number of 93 and a third. 93 and a third is a safer number than 113 and a third, which is over 100. And it's, again, the rule of tefasta meruba, lo tefasta.
But the appraisal is just the starting bid, though.
The minimum bid.
The minimum bid, so...
But there are no bidders, because people don't want to bid for these lands.
You think you'd bring in a fourth person?
You'll get a fourth opinion.
No, but I'm saying keep bringing in people rather than going with some logic that...
Interesting, yeah, we don't do that. Amar Rav Huna said, halacha kacherim. Halacha is like acherim, that the valuation is 93 and a third. It's a strange thing. So Amar Rav Ashi says Fred's point. Time of the acherim leyadinan. You know, this logic that people make mistakes of 13 and a third is so strange. A mistake of 10 makes sense, but 13 and a third, where did you get that number from? So hilchas avdinan kamai, we're going to follow the halacha like that? And in fact, that was apparently Rav Ashi's view. He didn't feel he followed Acherim. Tanu Dayan Egola, the judges of the diaspora, namely Karna and Shmuel, they said, Osa Shmuel Beinem Mashalshin, we figure out the difference between 80 and 120, we divide it into thirds. Rav Huna said, Alacha Ilchasaka Dayan Egola, Alacha's like that. Rav Ashi said, Taimu Dayan Egola Loyadina, we don't understand such reasoning. Say, Ilchas Abdin and Kavasai, we're going to do the Halacha like them? It can't be. All right, next Mishnah. If a person tells his friend, I'm selling to you half of this field. The quality is between them. The buyer takes half of the field. And that's it. If the seller says, I'm selling you the half that's in the south, the quality is between them. He takes the southern half. Now, whenever a seller sells half of a field, he also has to give space for a fence, plus charitz, plus a big trench, and ben charitz, a smaller trench. Kamahu charitz, how large is this ditch? Shisha tfachim, six tfachim. Ben charitz, how much is the small ditch? Shlosha, three tfachim. First law. Am Rabchia Barab, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabchia Barab is in Rabbi Yochanan. Lokeach no tail kachu shaba. If the field is divided into half, there's a better half and a worse half, the buyer gets the worse half. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, what do you mean? But that the Mishnah says that you the quality is between them. It sounds like they have equal portions in both the good and the bad parts of the field. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, at the Achlas Kafnais of Bavel, while you were relaxing, eating dates in Bavel, Tergimna, we in Eretz Yisrael explained it, Misefa, based on the end of the Mishnah. The Ketani Sefa, because the end of the Mishnah said, Chetzya Badar Mani Mor Chalacha. If he says to him, I'm selling to you the half that's in the south, Mishan Beinehem, the quality is between them, Venotel Chetzya Badarom, and he gets the half in the south. Amai Mishanu Beinehem. What are we evaluating here? Achetzi Badar Mamale. We know what portion he's getting. He's getting the half that's in the south. Ela L'dummies. What do we mean when we say that there is an evaluation? We say that when he said, I'm giving you the half of the field, the southern half, what he meant is, I'm giving you the value of the southern half, but I can give you any part of the field that's worth that. So hachanami, so that's what's going on here too. Ludami, when he says, I'm giving you half the field, he can give, it's an amount of land worth half the field, but where that land is and the nature of that land, that can be inferior land within the field that he's giving to him. Then we learned that when a person sells half of a field, he also has to give to the buyer space for a wall and a ditch and a small ditch, the Kabbalah of Makom Geder. He accepts to put up space for the fence. Tani learned in a Braisa, Charitz mi bachutz, the outer ditch is outside of the fence. Uben Charitz mi b'fnim, And then there's the small ditch closer to the fence. And both are behind the fence. In other words, outside of the purchased property. What's the purpose of the fence and the ditches? So that we don't have wild animals jumping over the fence into the field that the man bought. If we have it charitz, we have it ben charitz. Why didn't you just make a ditch? Why do you have to make the smaller ditch too? I did the ravach, because since the ditch is wide, it's six tfachim, kaimim begavei, the animal will step back in it, the kaftsan jump. V'liyavid ben charitz, just make the small ditch, which is thinner, v'loliyavid, which is three tfachim. V'loliyavid charitz, don't make the big ditch. I did the katin, because it's a small ditch, kaima asfate, it might stand on its edge, the kaftsan jump. V'kama ben charitz leven charitz, how much is the difference between the larger ditch and the smaller ditch? Another tefach. Hajin Allah, Hashem Yisbarach, Beis Kur, Bahadar Ahamah.